manufacturing, had artwork, and it was just a big city that it grew bigger and bigger, and it was organized to make you do without God and not need God. And remember, Cain couldn't bring forth any vegetables or fruit. And that's a good reminder to us, unless we're connected to Jesus Christ by faith, our life doesn't really bear any fruit. It's just our own efforts. It's what we can do, but it doesn't lead people to God. It doesn't really live a satisfying life. And that's that city of Enoch, named after the son of Cain, Enoch. So that's one, yes. And the other, she named too, Cynthia named, he's the one that walked with God, and he wound up just going right to heaven without dying. That's amazing. Yeah, just went right straight to heaven, and God just took him out of there. And I've often thought of that, what Cynthia just said. That's it. Now, going on from that, how about two men in the Bible? Now, there are many men in the Bible that walked with God. Many men in the Bible. But I just want two men in the Bible, and my Sunday school teachers couldn't do this. So if you do it, you're beating them. I teach this to the Sunday school teachers first. Two men in the Bible who it says walked with God. Now, they were able to get one, but not two. All right, Kathy, you going to get one? Enoch was one. All right, you're just as good as the Sunday school teachers. They got that one. Enoch walked with God. But who else does it say walked with God? Yeah.
Elijah?
Nope, he did, but it doesn't say it. So it's a little trick question. No, he did, but it doesn't say it. There's only one other man, and his name is... Go ahead. Adam? Now, that's what some people said. Brother Joe said that, and he thought he had it. But no, it said that the Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the day. But it doesn't say Adam walked with him. But he did. He did walk with him, and I said that. We know Adam walked with the Lord. But it doesn't say it. There's only one other man where it actually says it. Yep.
David.
He was a man after God's own heart. But it doesn't say he walked with God. Seth? Nope. I'll go ahead. You got it. Elgin Gannon. All right. Noah walked with God. And that is in Genesis. He's good. Genesis 6 verse 9. Amen. So you had those two men. Eddie? I mean, Melvin. Yeah, he built the boat. That's right. He built the big boat. That's exactly right. And he walked with God. So those are the two men. And that's what the lesson is on today. It's on Enoch and his whole life, if you would put on his grave, but he didn't have a grave, you'd put on there, Enoch walked with God. And that's what I want to challenge you with. Are you somebody that you could put on your grave, Steve Manning walked with God, or whoever you are, that you walked with God? And the first thing I want to say about that is every journey begins, if it's 1,000 miles, it begins with one step. And every life that walks with God, there was a beginning to that walk with God. And I want to, first of all, look at Enoch's beginning of his walk with God and turn to Genesis 5, and we'll look at verse 21 and 22. If you have your Bible, I hope you have your King James Bible here. And bring it every Sunday if you do. And if you don't, get one and bring it. Genesis 5, 21 and 22. And I'll read it. And you can follow in your copy of God's Word. And here's what it says in 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. That's 21. 22. And Enoch what? Walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, by the way, hold your finger there and look at Genesis 6, 9, since I got you looking in the Bible, just to prove what our man over here got right, Elgin. Genesis 6, 5, it says, 6, 9. It says there, These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Okay? So just so you know, it's in there. All right, now let's go back then to where we are in the beginning. Verse 22 of chapter 5 says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Now, he walked with God for 300 years after Methuselah. He would have done it longer, but God took him. We'll talk about that. So let me ask you a question. When did he begin, according to what we just read, when did he begin his walk with God? He didn't do it before this. Yeah. Well, you got the age of it. That's true. You're right. When his son was born. You see, he was going to have a baby. He was 65, and his wife was said, "I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby." And she said, "You know, this is great." And she had that baby, and you have to remember that he was in a line of people that believed God's promise. And so he had a godly father. He had a godly, I think his father's name was Mahalalel, but it's a big name, Mahalalel. And his son's name was Methuselah. And so he lived in a godly line. And those people lived old, one of those guys lived to be 962 years old. Adam lived to be 932 years old. So their lives went a long time. So you had Adam, and then another godly person that came from Adam was Abel, but he was killed by Cain. So who took over as the next godly son of Adam that could take the historical records and all the promises of God and hand them down? Cynthia? Seth, that's correct. And then, you know, Seth had a child as well, and his name was Enos, E-N-O-S, not Enoch, but Enos. And then Enos had a son named Cainan, and Cainan had a son named Mahalalel. And, I got that wrong. Mahalalel was Enoch's grandpa. He had a son, Mahalalel, named Jared. That's an easy name. Jared was Enoch's father. Now, all of these men, they kept records. They could read and write. They were not cavemen. They could read and write and lived in beautiful farms and so forth. And they would pass on the records of what it meant to live for God and believe God. So Enoch had a godly father named Jared, and he could give them those records that went all the way back to Adam. And in some cases, Adam was alive during these days too, but these different men, as they came into their own, they would keep these records. At any rate, he had access to these records. But for some reason, it appears he didn't really believe God. He was a child that heard the word of God, but he didn't believe God. But when his son was born, he woke up. All right, you made it, Morella, good. Tell Matthew you got that, because he'll put that on the bus route. So that's a good one. And Steve's, he's got 34 for Matt's route now. At two more, it made 34. Marilla's our latest bus worker helping out. Amen and amen. All right. You can get a little closer, Marilla. All right. But anyway, that's fine. I can project there. So, by the way, that's Diana, right, with you, Marilla? Hi, Diana. Good to see you. Welcome. All right. She's up there in Oliphant, and Marilla lives pretty near her. And Marilla was deputized as a bus worker for Matt's route, because that's where Matt, and she helped pick up Diana because she needed a special ride. All right. So anyway, something made him wake up. And I got a thought on that. What began his walk with God? Look at Genesis 3:15, and remember what God said to Adam. He gave him this word in Genesis 3:15, and to Eve, he said this to both of them. He said, after they sinned and messed up, he said in verse 15 of Genesis 3, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So he said that I'm going to defeat Satan and sin by somebody that's going to be born of the woman. Now, we know the woman refers to Israel as a nation and a lady from Israel who would have the baby. But Eve thought it was her. She thought, I'm the woman. And when she gave birth to her first son, she thought, this is the one that's going to get rid of the curse. All the messing up I did with my husband when I got him to sin, wow, God promised I'm going to give birth to somebody. He's going to defeat Satan and his lying to me. He's going to get rid of the curse. The kingdom of God is going to come back. And it's going to be great. But she was wrong. Her son was, what was the name of her son that she thought was the Messiah?
Cain.
She thought Cain was the Messiah. She said in Genesis 4:1, I've got a man child from the Lord. And that gives the idea that this is the man that God said would defeat Satan. And she thought it was it. But really, she didn't have the Messiah. She had what? A murderer. And a seed of the wicked one. He was going to be one of many children that would turn out to be the devil's seed. Not God's. Because he didn't believe God. Now, so Enoch, I believe, knew about all this. He too was looking for the Messiah to come. And when his wife got pregnant, he thought, oh, this might be the Messiah. And then when she gave birth and he saw a baby boy, he said, this is what I'm thinking. This is the Messiah. And he then decided, I am going to believe God. And I am going to trust God because God is keeping his word to us. And that's what faith is all about. And so he began his walk with God. Now, they began their walk with God by faith. You say, how do you know it's by faith? Because Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6, you don't have to turn there, says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith is just the opposite of you're trying to get to heaven by being good, by making up for your sins, by doing good things. If you're putting your faith in that, you're going to be disappointed because God does not accept your works in any way to help you get to heaven. It won't do it. Faith looks outside of yourself to another. And who is that other that faith always looks to for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, for eternal life? Who does it? We look to, of course, it's Jesus Christ. And we look back to Jesus because he already came. He was born of the Virgin. That woman did give birth. And now we have the Messiah. He grew up, never sinned. Satan couldn't tempt him to sin. He tempted him, but he couldn't get him to sin. He then died on the cross to pay for the sins of all the people before him and all the people after him that would believe on him. And so those people in the Old Testament were looking forward to Messiah. And now Enoch became one of those, and he said, you know what? I'm putting my faith in God's Messiah. Who will be, and he started offering the animal sacrifices that Abel did, and that Seth did, and that his father, Jared, did, and Mahalalel, his grandpa, did, and so forth. He started offering those sacrifices, but he wasn't putting faith in those sacrifices. The faith was in the one that they pointed to that would be born of a woman. And maybe he thought, this is it, you know, he's here, so I better put my faith in the Lord. But at any rate, whether he did or not, he did at that time believe. And then that started a faith walk. See, the Bible says in Romans 1, you're saved by faith. That means you have never seen Jesus, but you believe that he is God in the flesh. You believe he died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And you personally trust him to save you. You have to personally trust him to save you. Not just in your head, but you trust him. And that begins your walk with God. And I tried to figure out, when did I first come to faith? And I figured it out. It's when I was 17 in Muskegon, Michigan, when my grandmother told me about Christ and him dying on the cross. And I went back, I said, that's when I first looked outside of myself and believed. And that began a faith walk, because you're saved, it says, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So you get saved by faith, and then you live your life by faith, taking one step at a time. I wonder, can somebody say, when you believed, give me your testimony briefly, like I just did to you, when did you first believe? Give me your testimony. Just say, this is what happened. This is, Pastor, when I believed first on the Lord, and then my faith walk started. Okay, go ahead, Kath.
Self-righteous and good girl, good family, happy, joyous,
You were in a Baptist church too.
I was baptized at 13, so
yep.
I could be a better person.
Yep.
My brother said it was a waste of water because you only get to do it once. I should wait until later when I did some more things. But I went for it that
right. Right.
They told me the gospel, and the hardest part for them was the gospel. Said I was a sinner, bad guy.
Yep.
And they finally convinced me through the list of things that they mentioned in the house that I was a liar. I'm a liar, and I didn't want to be on that. And I knew I was on the list, and all I had to do was ask Jesus to give me a chance to change my life.
Amen. And she was 19 at the time, just starting college down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And then she started going to a Bible study where the lady was teaching on the second coming of Christ, Mrs. Pinnell. And she started going to the church where those guys went that led her to the Lord, Cam and Andy Coons. And their dad was a deacon there, Jack Coons. I worked for him later on. I know I met him and he was a great guy. He's now in heaven, Jack Coons. Know the guy that led her to the Lord. He calls me from time to time, and he keeps wanting to come by and see us, so we better do that. His name is Andy. He's a great guy. God blessed there, and that began her walk by faith. And she started living her life by the Bible, going to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And the first thing you do after you get saved, as she just said, what do you do by faith? The first thing you should do after you get saved. That you do because the Lord said it, and that's what faith is. Yep, doing what God said. Getting baptized, yeah. So faith is believing what God said and doing it. Faith without works is dead. It's a dead faith. It's just a head faith. But if you really believe, you will do things to show that you have faith. And getting baptized, the first thing you should do. Now, she got baptized before she was saved. So baptism doesn't save you, right? She had to believe on the Lord, and that meant that she had to stop believing that she was a good enough girl to get to heaven, because she was a good girl, and she thought she'd get to heaven. She's still a good girl. But that's not what saved her. It's faith that saved her. And anyway, that is how we begin our walk of faith. Now, we want to go on from there. Enoch got saved by faith, just like her, but now we have to walk by faith, and walking with God gets you to know God better. So let's look at Genesis 3:8-9 and look at the first guy that walked with God. We talked about him. Awilda mentioned him. Genesis 3:8-9. It says in verse 8, speaking of Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, that tells us every day Adam used to walk with God. And you say, well, how did he walk with God in the garden? It was in the cool of the day, which means early in the morning. Can I say this? If you're going to walk with God, you need to start your day with God. Some of you start your day with this thing. You're dumb. Some of you start your day with the TV. You're dumb. Some of you start your day with coffee. Yeah, and you're but whatever. I'm just saying, you can have your coffee, but do it with God. Start your day with God. And Adam did that, and he walked with God every day. And the question I have for you, and we read it, that's when God, he walked with God, but what stopped it? What made him now not want to walk with God? What made him now afraid of God? And what made him, you know, not walk with God? Brenda?
Because they already ate from the tree
later. Yeah, he did a sin, and his sin was to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? The one tree he was not supposed to eat of. They could eat of the tree of life. They could eat of all the other trees. There was all kind of trees. But that one tree, well, God said, you can't eat of that, Melvin.
But that tree was evil.
Yeah, that's called a forbidden fruit. So he ate of it because Eve gave it to him, and he didn't want to lose her. By the way, I've seen a lot of guys, even today, they will go against God for their wife. I'm saying they will do wrong because of their wife. And they love their wife, and that's a great thing. Love your wife, you know, the Bible says, as your own body. But don't love her before God. Because if your wife tells you to do something, I love my wife, but if my wife told me, don't go to Scranton Revival Baptist Church and pastor it, let's go to a liberal church, she wouldn't do that. But let's say she did it. I would be here in a New York minute, tell her, not listening to you. And Adam didn't want to lose Eve. So what got him to mess up was sin. He sinned, and now he was afraid of God. And by the way, even in our lives, if we have a sin that we have not gotten cleansed and dealt with, then it will mess up your walk with God. Yeah, Melvin?
But then, Eve took Adam, about to eat the apple.
It wasn't an apple. It wasn't an apple. It was a fruit, a forbidden fruit. We always say that apple. But yeah, it was Eve that, the devil gave it to Eve, and she took it, and then she gave it to Adam. Yeah, that's how it happened. You're trying to get Eve in trouble, aren't you? All right. All right. I know where he's going. All right. So the next thing is, walking with God not only means you get to know God better, because if you spend time walking with somebody, talking with somebody, you get to know them better. Now, by the way, speaking of walking with God, I'm sure Adam talked to God. And by the way, I'm sure he's talking to him now. I'm sure Adam walks with God now, because he walked with Jesus in the garden. Now, Jesus wasn't born yet, but he was in the form of a man. And that's called a Christophany or a theophany. And he walked with him in the garden, and he would talk to him. He looked just like Adam. They were buds. And he would talk, and Adam would talk to him. But not only did Adam talk to him, but he talked to Adam. And if you want to walk with God, you should start your day out with God and talk to God, but let God talk to you. And you say, well, how do I let God talk to me? See, God has spoken in these last days by his Son. In the Old Testament, he did dreams and visions, and they wrote that down. The prophets wrote it down. But in the New Testament, he gave us the word of his Son, and his Son had it written down in the Gospels. And then when he went back to heaven, he had it given to the apostles. And the last apostle was John. So you don't have to come up with new words from God, like, oh, God spoke to me, and he gave me a vision last night in a dream. You don't need those. Because you got the visions right here in the Revelation and all the New Testament. So you've got what's called the canon of Scripture. All the books of the Bible. All the books of the Bible. Don't like that. All the books of the Bible are from Genesis to Revelation. They're already given. So what God does is, and if you walk close to God, the Holy Spirit will take a portion of Scripture that you read and that you studied and apply it to your own heart. And you'll understand what that means now in your life. Or when you hear the Bible preached, the Holy Spirit who lives within you, if you're a believer, he will apply it. So you can walk with God by you talking to God in prayer and letting God talk to you when you read the Bible and having time where you're not distracted so God can say something to you. Hey, have you ever talked to somebody and they're so distracted because they're on their cell phone or something, and you're just like, I don't even want to talk to them. They're watching something on the TV, they're reading, or they got, I used to, my dad, he'd come home from work, he'd put the newspaper up in front of him. And I would go and I'd get a rubber band and I'd put, wad it up, and I'd take that rubber band and I'd shoot it right at his newspaper. He'd come off that chair and chase me, and I would run out the door, cross the lawn. He couldn't outrun me. He couldn't. And my dad, thankfully, he had a temper that would fizzle out. And I knew that. And I knew that. So I'd get away. By the time he was done, he'd be like, oh, he's all right. But anyway, I'm just saying, you shouldn't be distracted because the Lord won't talk to you. You know what I'm saying? He just won't waste time. He might shoot a rubber band at you or something to get your attention. Okay, so I'm just telling you. So walking with God, it means that you talk to God, God talks to you. It means you get making progress. You get to know more and more about God. When I got married to my wife, I knew a little bit about her. But now we've been married all these years, I know a whole lot more about her, right? I've heard her talk to me, and I had Ralph say, he'd tell Marlene, he'd say, Marlene, they'd be tired going to bed, and she'd say, I got to talk to you about this, Ralph, and this is a problem. He'd say, Marlene, write it all down on a piece of paper.
And I'll talk later.
And I'll talk later. Didn't he do that? He told me he did that with you. And I won't tell you the rest of the story, though.
Whenever arguing, he'd say, stop right now, write it on a piece of paper, and I'll...
That's right, I'll read it later.
I'll read it later.
Yep, yeah. That's what he did. All right, and then walking with God means not only getting to know him better, it means doing what God wants you to do. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And by the way, you know, if you're going to marry somebody, there better be an agreement between you about who God is, which Bible is which, what God said. And if you don't have any agreement and you try to get married to somebody, you're going to be going in two different directions.
Wait, but Pastor, I was married for 10 years.
What's that, Melvin?
I was married for 10 years and I got divorced.
Oh, okay, because you're going in different directions, yeah. Want that. You don't want that. So before you get married, you want to make sure that not only is the person says they're saved, but they have a life that agrees with your life. They have commitments that agree with your commitments. And then that's a good possibility for marriage, you know. And so God says, not only do you need to know what I want you to do, but you need to start doing it. And that's when you walk. And like Melvin just said there, if you hear what God said, but you don't do it, then you're going this way and God is going this way. And, you know, sometimes it's your friend. Now, I tell people, I'll be honest with you. People want to come and spend time with certain people in the church, but they don't want to walk with God. And they're trying to lead them away from God. And I tell them, just be busy. Tell them I got this to do or that to do. And then go do something. And just, I can't spend that much time with that person. Because we're not in agreement. Amos 3:3. You say, well, who should I walk with? Those that want to do what you want to do. You partner with them. Because they'll help you do God's will. So they become your closest friends. And they become, and it just, you just do that by serving God. And if you serve God, you'll be together. Like Brenda and Steve, we go out together visiting on Thursday night because they're available. And so we got Brother Steve and Brenda. All right?
I got something.
Yes.
There's a couple of people in the building where we live that they've been calling me a holy roller. Because I've been going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday for prayer meeting.
You are getting a little fanatical.
Thursday for rolling. So they started calling me a holy roller. I said, well, I'm living for God, so if you don't like my way of living, then we don't have to speak.
There you go.
That's why we need to attack that place, Brenda.
There you go. Well, we'll do some visits up there. Well, you bring me and we'll knock on some doors. I'll talk to them.
There you go.
We'll give it to them. I love that. Yeah.
You were talking about how we ought to be separated. The New Testament tells us.
Are you helping her to be a holy roller?
And the New Testament tells us to go into a closet and close the door. So that's an illustration of how God wants to separate.
That's good, Steve. Absolutely. He's absolutely right. So. Go in the closet, close the door, get in a private place. That's the idea, where nobody can bother you, nobody can distract you, because that's your most important time.
That's why God put me where I'm at. I'm by myself and I read my Bible.
Amen, Marlene, and I can see.
And we all prayed for it.
You call me a holy roller.
I want to say something else about walking with God. Enoch, believe it or not, he lived 4,000 years before Christ actually showed up. But do you know that he actually preached to people about what was going to happen 6,000 years after his lifetime, and that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. He actually talked about the second coming. And if you got a Bible, Jude verse 14, that's just before Revelation. Go to Jude and look at verse 14. And if somebody gets that and you want to read it out loud and you got a King James Bible, I'll let you do it. Jude 14, reading it out loud, second to the last book in the New Testament, Jude 14. All right, I got it, so I'm going to read it. I don't see anybody else. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now, when he came the first time, he's prophesying of his second time, and the Bible says he's going to come with his saints. Now, what does that mean? His holy ones, 10,000 of them in flaming fire, his holy angels. And he's going to come and wage war on this world in the day of the Lord and bring down judgment. And Enoch preached about judgment. And he preached against ungodly people that didn't walk with God and didn't believe in God. And the other Enoch and the other city of Enoch. And they didn't like what he was saying. By the way, if the world loves you, if they love everything about you, if you're just popular with the world, you don't have any enemies, you're not pleasing God. Because, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not everybody likes you when you walk with God, but that should be all right with you. They may call you a holy Joe or a holy roller. That should be all right with you. And it is with Brenda. And you just keep walking with God. And that's what Enoch did. He realized that would happen. And he warned them of judgment. He said, you better turn or you're going to burn. And there's going to be judgment coming. And remember, he lived, you say we live in bad days, and we do, but he lived before the flood. And remember, it got really bad before the flood. I mean, murders, homosexuality, all of this stuff was bad before the flood. And he would preach again. He would say it's wrong. And the Lord is going to come, and he's going to judge it, speaking of the Messiah. And he's going to burn this world and take the curse off it. And we know he's going to bring the kingdom. And now we're that much closer to it. So if we're walking with God, what I'm saying to you is the world ought to make you upset. Evil ought to bother you. And you ought to get sick of this world and be like, I don't like this world. And by the way, let me share this. A little girl said that Enoch walked with God, and they walked together, and they walked, and they walked, until finally God said, Enoch, I believe we have walked so far, we're closer to my house than your house. So why don't you just come home with me? You know what? That's exactly what happened with Enoch. He just kept walking with God, and he got closer and closer to God. So God just said, come on, I'll take you right up to heaven. You won't even have to die. Now, by the way, he spoke about Christ coming back and judging the world. But before the judgment of the flood came, Enoch just went up to heaven without dying. Who is that a picture of? Who is that a picture of? Joe? Yeah, but who is it a picture of going up to heaven without dying? Yeah, believers going up in the rapture. Well, no, it's actually believers going up in the rapture. He's a picture, because before the day of the Lord's wrath falls on this earth, just before it, we're going to be raptured out of here. And we don't have to go through the wrath of God. Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll ever be with the Lord. And so that talks about that in his walk with God. And so he preached against sin, and he was uncomfortable in the world. He walked with God in a wicked day. Now, let's look at the end of his walk with God. It says, he was not, for God took him. That is a picture of the rapture. He was translated. Hebrews 11:5 says, translated means carried across. In other words, he didn't die, but you know, you ever hear of the river of death? You have to swim through the river of death and come up on the other side. Well, he was carried across the river of death. So he never even died. Can you imagine that? When Christ comes back, there are some people, and it may be some of you here, that God will keep you alive until that day. And if he keeps you alive until that day, when he comes back, you will not go through death. He will just have the angel carry you right up to heaven alive. And he'll have to change your body so that you can be a heavenly bodied person. But the people in the grave that have died before you, they're not going to miss it either. They're going to come alive again. And they're going to be raised up out of the grave. And together, the Bible says, we'll meet the Lord in the air. So that's talking about the end of one's walk with God. Are you going to die? Or are you going to be raptured out before you die? I don't know. But either way, you won't miss the rapture. And if you do die, your soul will be carried by the angels through outer space right to heaven. And that is what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? I have faith. I believe the word of God. I focus on the promises of God. I just walk by faith. And that's what walking with God is. Believing what he said and living your life in the light of it. And so Enoch did that, and he was a picture of people that are going to be raptured out of there. People probably looked for Enoch. Don't you think so? Like, where is he? They looked for him. Now, it may have been, since God would give prophecies, that God gave a prophecy, said the Lord said through some prophet, I took him. Doesn't say, but I took him. And he is now with me. So you don't have to worry. Now, after he walked with God, I want you to notice this, that the Bible said he was the seventh from Adam. What do you think that meant, that he was the seventh from Adam? That's an interesting phrase. Brenda, what do you think?
He descended through Adam?
Yeah, he descended from Adam. But, of course, a lot of people descended from Adam, bad and good people. We got, about 8 billion people right now? They all descended from Adam. But what is the seventh from Adam?
Let me take a guess.
Yeah.
How about his generation?
Yeah, it's a generation. But here it is. Remember that it was a generation of people who were men who were believers like Adam became. And offered animal sacrifice, and they were leading patriarchs, and they had access to the records of Adam and passed those records on and kept their own records of faith. So they were seven leading men of faith from Adam. You say, well, who were they? All right, let me read them. Adam, number one. Seth, number two. His son Enos, number three. His son Cainan, number four. His son Mahalalel, number five. His son Jared, number six. And his son Enoch, number seven. So these are seven men of faith. And isn't it great when you have father, grandfather, right back, and you can trace men of faith. Now, sometimes a father doesn't believe, and it's a mother, like Timothy. Remember, his father didn't seem to be a believer, and he said, the faith that's in you, it was in your mother, Lois, and your grandmother, Eunice. It's in you now, Timothy. So sometimes it's passed from mother to daughter to son, like that. But here you had these seven leading men. Did you have something, Cynthia? You had your hand up? Well, it carried on after Enoch. Okay, she's looking after Enoch now. This was seven from Adam to Enoch. But after Enoch, let's look at that. He had a son named Methuselah. And Methuselah means something very significant. It means when he dies, it shall come. And it's talking about the judgment, the flood. It's interesting, the oldest man that ever lived was who? Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years old. Why did he live so old? Because God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He knew he was going to send the flood, so he gave people